Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to shift gears a little bit and talk. You know, I do that right on this program. I do like to shift gears. And I'm excited to welcome back to the program Daniel Weber. He is president and founder of AMAC, Association of Mature American Citizens, a website, AMAC.us. And listen, this is pretty cool. AMAC is an alternative to AARP. It was founded by Daniel in 2007, conservative nonpartisan alternative, and they have now over 1.2 million members. Daniel, congratulations on that.
Thank you, David, and thank you for the great job you are doing too for all your listeners.
Well, thank you, sir, and it's a pleasure to have you back. The last time we talked, we were talking about some of the things that AMAC was doing, and it was very interesting to follow your progress. And of course, I've been doing that, and you've got several things going on. And of course, I know that we are at the beginning, although it feels like we're in the heart of it. But I know it's still very much at the beginning of a political season, and it's going to be, of course, very interesting, very important to watch that unfold. Now, you've got some key issues that you've been tracking, and we can get into those, but I really am curious. I've taken note. You've got a couple of proposals out there that I think would be very interesting for our listeners to hear about, and of course, more information over at the website, amac.us. But you've got a proposal that I think really would be a very powerful way to help people in our country save to supplement their Social Security. So it's the early retirement account. Can you share a little bit about it with us? And then we can understand how that might be something that should be taken up as a proposal in Washington.
Well, thank you, David. The real problem that people have when they approach retirement, as you are well aware, they don't have enough money. The average recipient from Social Security only receives $14,000 a year. And that's a puny amount when you compare it to their living requirements.
Oh, sure.
So what we at AMAC feel, we should add an automatic IRA to Social Security. We call it the ERA, Early Retirement Account. It'd be available at age 62. And it would be similar to an IRA. People would contact a financial advisor.
Okay.
And that person would help them pick out what kind of investments they can have. And the money would accumulate. And the way it would work is, today, when you go to work for an employer, the first question they ask is, how many deductions, how many exemptions
right.
are you going to claim?
Right.
Next question, they'd be required to ask, how much would you like to put into your ERA, your early retirement account, at every paycheck? The minimum amount is $5. The maximum is $100. And that money would be invested in the accounts that the worker chooses with guidance, you know, from a financial person.
Sure.
They would be approved investments. So, for example, you could invest in the Standard & Poor's index, but you couldn't invest in a gold mine in Tanzania.
Oh, doggone it.
And so that's part of it. Now, presently, there's 50 million workers have no pension plans at all at work. And that's a horrible problem, and that contributes to the problem that seniors face. You know, they just,
sure.
a lot of the small businesses can't afford some of the other plans that are out there. So this
right.
would be in addition to, not
oh.
to replace anything.
Okay, good.
But it'd be added to Social Security. And David, we expect that the average worker would have saved between $250,000 and $500,000
wow.
in today's spending assets. At age 62, if they start contributing at age 25.
That's a lot of money.
Yep.
That would be one heck of a supplement to Social Security. I think the real key thing that you mentioned, Daniel, that I think is really important for our listeners to take note of, and I hope that includes some politicians in Washington as well, or at least our Florida contingent, but I think what's really important is that this is a supplement. This isn't meant to replace Social Security, and it's certainly not meant to replace any of the existing 401k and other types of retirement plans. This is just something that can be added in as an additional way for employees that don't have access to those other types of plans, like you mentioned, to be you know, a way of kind of bootstrapping. And the fact that the employer has to ask that question, I mean, it just makes it part of that employment conversation. It gets the employee, that future retiree, thinking about how to save for themselves.
Right.
And I just think that's great. And now, what do you say, because, you know, there's always a contrary position to every good idea, okay?
Yep.
What do you say, Daniel, to the folks out there, especially the folks in Washington who will say, well, wait a minute. We don't get to tax that $5,200. That's the maximum per year that the employee could put away. We don't get to tax that. That's going to cost us tax revenue, Daniel. That won't work.
Well, what we thought we would do, and we actually had an extensive conversation with Paul Ryan. As you know, he's the chairman of the Ways and Means Committee. And he said before they passed anything like that, they would have a thorough study done and determine how much it would cost the taxpayers. But he did say, regardless of whether the money put in was tax deductible or not, it could at least be treated as a Roth IRA, for example, where someone may not get the deduction at
right.
the time they contribute, but when they receive the $250,000, $500,000, they pay absolutely no tax on any of that money. And as you know, today, half the people are taxed on our Social Security income.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't take much. I just met with a woman that is planning her retirement, Daniel, and, you know, we have to factor in that we're trying to create income from her, and then ironically creating the income causes her Social Security to be taxed, but she needs the income
sure.
to supplement Social Security.
Yeah, and it's a shame that seniors are getting that double tax. That's another thing that AMAC is fighting. But we've got a lot on our agenda right now, and
I'll bet you do.
David Holland show, we're getting a little bit of attention.
Well, thank you, sir. We're glad to have you, and it's helpful and it's insightful for us and for our listeners to understand what you're doing at AMAC. If you're just joining us, Daniel Weber is our guest today, returning, giving us an update on AMAC, and very glad to have him, the Association of Mature American Citizens. And AMAC.us is the website. We'll grab a quick break, and we'll come back and talk about AMAC Care, a new idea that AMAC is putting forth that will be very interesting to see how this can unfold and help those that are indigent and need doctor services. So stay right there.
Do you know how to get the most from your Social Security? Don't let a simple mistake prevent you from receiving all the benefits you've earned. Certified financial planner David Holland recently showed a retiring couple how they could enjoy an extra $84,000 in Social Security benefits over their expected lifetime. Wow! Call Holland Financial today for your one-on-one appointment to get your free Social Security analysis. No cost or obligation. David can give you a free analysis and show you the optimal age to start drawing Social Security so you can maximize your benefits. No cost or obligation. Call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
And welcome back. Daniel Weber is on the line, ladies and gentlemen, president and founder of AMAC. That's the Association of Mature American Citizens. And we've been following Daniel and AMAC's progress, and there are now over 1.2 million members. That's just excellent. And it's good for people to know that there is an alternative to the AARP that may be more fitting with their own views and what they would expect from an organization like AMAC. The website, amac.us. And we talked before the break about AMAC's proposal for an early retirement account, ERA, to be added or supplement Social Security. Very nice proposal, and hopefully there is traction with that. And we're going to turn our attention now to another strategy that AMAC is putting forth. And I'd love for you to give us a little bit of perspective, Daniel, on AMAC Care and what some of the plans are for having doctor services help indigent persons and actually help ourselves as opposed to expecting the government to do it.
Well, you know, David, a lot of people had great hope for Obamacare. And as we know, the results have not been good at all. And people say, well, Dan, what's your biggest problem with Obamacare? And I say, other than government controlling more and more of our lives, I said the big promise we were given with Obamacare was there were 38 million Americans without any kind of health insurance.
Right.
Here it is 6 years later. There are 38 million Americans without any kind of health insurance.
Well, wait a minute. I don't understand, Daniel. I thought they were all going to be insured like the next day.
Yeah. What happened was a lot of folks lost their coverage because of the rules and regulations for Obamacare.
Mm.
For example, in New York State, Blue Cross Blue Shield canceled 60,000 small business health insurance policies. So those people had to scramble around for coverage. What Obamacare did do, they signed up a lot of people in Medicaid. Medicaid, similar to Medicaid, that would have been available if and when the person went to the hospital anyway.
Right.
So we are in the same boat, 38 million people without health insurance. That's the biggest disappointment with Obamacare. But we said, well, how can we do something about that? And then we realized that many doctors occasionally will treat patients pro bono for free. It's part of their ethical requirements, and many doctors do that. Years ago, as you know, doctors would make house visits, and if people didn't have any money, people might give them a bag of oranges or apples or some chicken eggs or something.
Right.
But in any case, today, we polled doctors, and they said they would be willing to treat 20 patients a year, up to 20 patients a year, for free if the people were indigent. And we asked them, well, if you got a tax deduction, say, let's say they charge $60 for an office visit and they perform it. Well, they wouldn't get any pay, but they'd get a $60 tax deduction that they could apply towards their taxes. And it's not $60 off their taxes, but a deduction.
Right, right. It's not a credit, it's a deduction. Sure.
Bracket, you know, they save a little bit of money, $12, whatever. But they get something. And you know what happened? 85% of the doctors said they would do that. Well, there are 800,000 medical practitioners in the United States.
Wow.
If each doctor took 20 patients, that 16 million Americans could get a local general practitioner for free.
Wow, Daniel. So you could get half of the these 38 million almost.
That's
getting
correct.
Getting some care, and all it costs is a modest deduction for the doctor instead of this ramming the tax penalty for not having health insurance down everybody's throats with the way the Affordable Care Act was presented and then, you know, the law rewritten in various ways. Why didn't we start with that?
Isn't it a simple idea?
I mean, it's so simple.
When we did the poll of the doctors, some of the doctors said, well, you know, I'm concerned about getting sued. We said, what do you mean? They said, well, a lot of these folks may not have been to a doctor recently.
Sure.
They come into my office.
Sure.
I'm treating them for free. And because they couldn't afford it, their health is neglected, so they have problems.
Right.
And he said, I don't want to get sued for malpractice, you know, for medical malpractice for a patient I'm not collecting any money on that I had no care for before. So he said, well, what if we put in a Good Samaritan provision so that if you are treating somebody for free, they would be very, very limited in what they could sue you on. Then add up the participation rate to over 90% of the doctors said
good
they
grief.
Would participate.
That's remarkable, Daniel. I think that is one of the most innovative, and I think elegance is the right word. You know, elegance is a combination of simplicity and beauty, and that's just beautiful. I love the simplicity of it. And that might just be the way to really get this addressed at the grassroots level.
That's right. We've actually had a number of Congress folks contact us and say, please send us your information on, we nicknamed it AMAC Care.
Yes,
but
of course.
But we don't care what they call it.
Yeah, they can call it whatever they want.
Yeah, care for the poor people who really need it.
Yeah, they can call it, you know, Old MacDonald Had a Farm Plan, as long as they make it work and let us address. You know, charity, number one, always has to be by choice or it's not charity.
Right.
And number two, very often it's at the local level, Daniel, and I'm preaching to the choir here, or choir preaching to the preacher. You know, at the local level, that's how we can really affect change without a heavy, burdensome bureaucracy that does nothing but eat up the cost.
You got it. That's exactly it. Great summary. Listen, if I ask to get to testify in Congress, I may bring you up there.
I'll even pay for my own plane ticket.
I'll hold you to that.
In fact, I'll take a free membership to AMAC subscription. You can sign up for that, ladies and gentlemen, over at amac.us. AMAC.us is the website for the Association of Mature American Citizens. Check it out. You'll be surprised. It's a pretty cool website. And they've got a great thing going on. Of course, Daniel Weber's the founder and got this thing started in 2007. They've done nothing but grow. I applaud his efforts. We'll grab a quick break. We'll come back. And I think it'd be helpful, Daniel, for folks to know a little bit about some of the key issues you guys are supporting. So stay right there, and we'll return from a break in just a second.
How's this for convenient one-stop shopping? Holland Financial offers so many services through its subsidiaries, like fee-based investment management, financial planning, retirement and estate planning, fixed annuities, long-term care, disability and life insurance, and tax return preparation. Our founder, David Holland, also has specialized training to serve as a trustee and executor for families wanting sound financial stewardship for their beneficiaries. Many of your neighbors and local families have chosen Holland Financial because we've helped them plan stronger. Call 671-PLAN and meet with David one-on-one, or visit Holland Financial at planstronger.com. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You can tell I'm enthused to have Daniel Weber back on the line with us today, talking to us about AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens, AMAC.us. And I wanted to turn our attention, and for those of you who are not as familiar with AMAC and some of their key issues that they're focusing on, and I'd like to touch on at least some of them. We may not have time to get to all of them, but, you know, I think right off the bat, there are several very significant hot topics, Daniel, right now, especially in light of political season. And you already talked a little bit about taxes. You know, I think a lot of, in fact, this is a bit anecdotal, but, you know, I've never had somebody come into my office, Daniel, and say, tell me, David, how I can pay more in taxes.
Yeah, isn't that a shame?
I mean, they might want you to pay more, but they don't want to pay more themselves. So, you know, it just seems like every time we turn around, there is a, you know, let's be honest, there are infinite wants in our world. Infinite wants. I didn't say needs, but infinite wants. But there are finite resources.
That's right. And that's why people need good advisors like yourself to help them. If people would take a half hour a week and just go over their finances, you know, with someone that knows what they're doing, that would really help. And then if those same people would be able to contact our government and say, hey, how about balancing the budget? You know, we have to balance our budget at home.
Yeah.
And that's one of the main things that AMAC is looking to do in Washington. David, I got to tell you a quick story. Do I have 1 minute?
Are you? Sure, absolutely.
Okay. You know, in Washington, it can get very contentious.
I'm sure.
Folks at AMAC always try to keep a good spirit, good sense of humor. And a lot of our members are getting older. So this one older couple went to visit another older couple. They'd been friends for years. And after dinner, the men kind of went in the living room. The ladies were chatting in the kitchen. And one old friend said to his other old pal, oh, we saw this great movie last week. It was the best movie I've seen in years and years. And the guy said, what's the name of it? And he said, well, he said, what's the name of that flower that's usually red and it's beautiful, smells pretty, and has thorns? And the guy says, you mean rose? And the guy says, yeah, that's it. And with that, he turns to the kitchen and he yells, hey, Rose! What was the name of that picture we saw last week?
Oh, that's funny. Well, you know,
as we get older, you know, we got to try to keep a remembrance.
That's right. Well, you know, I think, you know, there are so many important issues, and I'm glad you have a sense of humor up there talking to the folks in Washington,
because
it seems like sometimes, and not all the time, Daniel, but it seems like sometimes they get up there, they hand them the white wig, and they forget why we sent them there. But you know what? I think you've hit on a couple of real important issues that most people care about, whether they are on one side of the aisle or not, or in the middle. You know, everybody should want a balanced budget, because, you know, whether you think that we are not taxed enough or you think we're taxed too much, set that aside. We all want some control of this just swelling debt that now is, at the time we're doing this program, $18 trillion, and it's not sustainable. And states like Florida, I'm proud to say, have an actual balanced budget amendment or requirement, and they can't go home until they get it balanced.
Right, right. And look at the results. The results are like in Detroit when they went bankrupt. And if you've ever been to Detroit, they went from 1.5 million residents to 700,000 people live there now. They've got abandoned buildings block after block after block. And that's all part of the government controlling from the top down.
Yeah, and the fact that they've left a burden there, you got half as many people trying to now pay for the same support structures. And we don't have ghost towns, not many of them, at least in Florida, because people are moving in.
Yeah.
They like our balanced budget. Come to Florida, where we have That could be a slogan for the state of Florida. Come to Florida, we have balanced budgets, beaches, and more. So you mentioned taxes, you mentioned balanced budgets, you know, and I know that this is going to be also a contentious or at least discussed issue, and we might as well hit on it. And that's the subject of immigration. Where's AMAC on immigration?
Well, we told our members, we take our marching orders from our members.
Right.
And our members think the first thing that should be done is a fence, a true fence, should be put up at the border. We even had someone suggest that they said, well, if you put up a fence across the border, it would have to be manned 24 hours, 7 days, the 365 days. And we said, yeah. And the guy said, well, I got an idea how we can man that. And we said, well, how? He said it would take 16,000 people to man the fence 24 hours around the clock.
Okay.
And he said, we could just go to every state that has a border along the fence, and all the people on unemployment, we could ask them to work a few hours a week to man the tower. Put a tower every quarter of a mile.
Hmm.
And I said, wow. I said, that sounds like it'd be interesting.
Well, you're kind of killing two birds with one stone. You know, there.
Yeah.
I'm not being cute or insensitive, but you are putting people back to work, defending our country. And you know, it's always made into. And I know you're frustrated by this, Daniel. And with your experience with all these things, I know you are much more patient about this maybe than some others of us on this subject. But you know, it just seems like it always turns into a racial political right. question just to secure our borders. You know, some of the recent political debate, you know, the question is asked, we either have a country or we don't. We either have a border or we don't. And why are, if we're going to let people just come and go as they choose, then why do we have an immigration policy
right.
At all? And why are we making people wait years that apply to come here legally?
That's right. And part of the AMAC proposal would be to have employment centers in Mexico manned by Americans. And what they would do is they would screen people who want to work in America. For example, let's say a roofer in Florida
sure.
needs a team of workers. So he would put that into an employment center in Mexico so you don't have bribes.
Right.
You have American, you know, people doing the selecting. They would qualify the people. They would register them for a job, and they would get sent to America. We'd collect taxes on the money they earned. You know, there'd be certain safeguards. We'd do a criminal check and all that sort of thing. And that way you can still do several things, provide opportunity for those less fortunate and to give jobs to people that that need them. And a lot of contractors and, you know, people in the kitchen. I know a fellow owns a restaurant. He said, I can't get people to be dishwashers to wash
right.
my pots and pans every day.
Well, look, let's be honest. There are a lot of industries, a lot of different types of businesses that need labor, and they need it. They only can afford to pay a certain amount because of the nature of the product or service being delivered, and they need that labor. And, you know, it's difficult for them to get good labor and to be able to afford them with some of the different things that go on. And so why not legitimize and bring people out of the shadows, which is another one of the political initiatives that people that want immigration or comprehensive immigration reform, that they want those things, Daniel. And I love your ideas of just going straight to the source and just being, I love the upfront approach to all of this. Is let's just be real upfront about what it's about.
That's
and let's
right.
not wink at this.
Yeah. Be honest. Don't play politics. Do the right thing. And, you know, that's what America was built on. And hopefully that's what we'll continue to do.
Yeah, we need a no-winking policy in Washington. Don't
right.
wink at problems. Well, we've got time for just a few more here, Daniel, if you'll indulge me. We've got a couple more. You know, another one that is, I know, near and dear to your heart is the growth in government spending in general. You know, I pulled up the other day on usdebtclock.org on the website, and I'm looking at the revenue that comes into the U.S. government, and it's over $3 trillion a year. And we're still running a half a trillion dollar, $500 billion deficit, having to borrow. Even with all of that revenue coming in, we're still having to borrow. And there's only one answer for that. It's not lack of revenue. It's spending.
That's right. We look at spending, and there's actually another simple proposal. You know, we're good at simple, maybe because we're simple folks. But it's been suggested by a number of people, and I guess Sean Hannity played it up a little bit, what they call the one penny plan, where each year, let's say next year, that we take one penny out of every dollar that the government is spending and eliminate it. So we take 1% of the spending. Now, we're not talking the budget. Here's the problem, Dave, as you know. They say, oh, well, we're cutting this next year. So if something was scheduled to increase 3%, they're going to cut it. It'll only increase 2%. So they can say, we cut future expenditures by 30%, which is, again, not really the truth. So we say, take the base budget, cut it by one penny. And if you did that for 7 years, we would have a balanced budget and be a long way on to retiring our national debt. So that's a simple way. And any, I don't care what organization it is, they could cut 1% off their budget.
Sure.
Anyone can do that.
Can you imagine the American renaissance that would occur, Daniel, if the U.S. government got out of the borrowing business of borrowing capital from the private sector and the unleashing of the American dream that could unfurl? Because, you know, they suck up all of, I mean, if you need to borrow, just for example, $500 billion to make your budget for this year, if that money, instead of being borrowed by the U.S. government, would be then available to the private sector and be lent to businesses instead of being borrowed by the government. Think of that capital circulating through our system. And then think as that $18 trillion or $20 trillion by the time we get this figured out, if that's able to be paid back, and that $20 trillion now has to go somewhere else besides to the government.
That's a great way of framing the whole argument. If only people understood that and get the message. And then when they go and listen to a congressman that said, if you elect me, I will do this. I'll start this program. I'll start that program. I'll give you a free cell phone. I'll give you more food stamps. And if the people said, well, who's going to pay for it? And will it increase our taxes? Will it put a further burden on our children and grandchildren? And that's the questions they've got to ask the politicians.
Amen to that, Daniel. Well, if I run, I'll make sure you're the first to know. AMAC.us, Daniel Weber, president and founder, Association of Mature American Citizens. Daniel, thank you so much for being with us. It's always a pleasure.
Great talk.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.